Welcome to episode 78 of The Lab. I'm your host, Brad Barton. When Darwin first published On the Origin of Species, he included a section towards the end called Problems with Theory. This was not and is not uncommon to be taken seriously. You should be able to point out what holes exist in your theory and what further work needs to be done. One of his objections to his own theory was the Cambrian explosion, which we covered in the previous episode. His theory suggested that changes happened gradually over a long period of time, and the sudden appearance of so many different animal types in the fossil record was troublesome. Later work has suggested that sometimes evolution can happen rather rapidly. In addition, there's some evidence that suggests several of those body types may have been present before they were recorded in the fossil record, in places like the Burgess Shale in Canada. Another objection to his theory that he brought up was the development of complex organs like the eye. He then went on to say that if various simple forms and gradations from simple to more complex could happen, and each gradation would provide an advantage to the organism, then it's not impossible to understand how the eye could evolve. Subjects like evolutionary biology and zoology have continued since then, and as it happens, we now have a pretty good idea how the eye evolved. It starts from something simple, and then, through small gradations, moves to the more complex. We even have living examples of many of the steps moving from simple eyes to complex ones. Even single-celled creatures can detect light and move toward or away from it. There are even single-celled creatures which can move to a preferred level of light. This isn't too difficult if you live in deep enough water, deep or murky enough water. If there is too much light, you can simply move downward. If there isn't enough, you can move towards the surface. For multicellular creatures, the simplest eyes are patches of pigment and photoreceptors. Photoreceptors are cells that will send messages when they get hit by light. The pigment serves a couple of purposes. It can protect the photoreceptors from getting too much light and thus damaged, and it can tune the photoreceptors to a particular wavelength. In humans, we have three different pigments for three different photoreceptors that give rise to our color vision. Those are called cones. We also have rods, which simply react to the presence of light. They are more sensitive than the cones, and it's the reason why, when things get darker, we see less and less color and start to see the world in shades of gray. The simplest eyes, composed merely of pigment and one or two photoreceptive cells, are called eye spots. They are sufficient to allow an organism to detect light. If you are living in shallow water or on the land, being able to move up and down in the water column isn't enough. You may need to be able to detect where shade exists. To do this, you need to be able to tell what direction light is coming from. This brings us to the next gradation called pit eyes. The eyes become lined with more photoreceptors, and they sit inside pits, thus the name. This means that only light coming from the right direction can be detected, and the animal can move its head around to tell which direction is bright and which direction is dark. The layer of photoreceptive cells is called the retina. A layer of clear tissue, usually made out of proteins called crystallines, can protect the retina from damage or infection. Past a certain point, making deeper pits is not enough. For a better focus, the opening will narrow until you get down to a pinhole. Then, similar to a pinhole camera, you can get a high-resolution image. By filling the area between the clear protective layer and the retina with fluid, you can change the shape of the eye over time until you get something that fits what you need for focusing. By putting liquid between layers of clear proteins, you can nourish the cells that create and maintain those layers, and you can create a simple lens. Add some muscles around the area, and you can even change the lens shape. If you develop an iris, which is basically a sphincter, you can change the size of the aperture that light comes through. This is necessary because sometimes lowering the amount of light available provides a sharper image. This is just basic optics. One step at a time. From simple eyes that just detect light to eyes that can see color, swivel, and focus. However, evolution is not perfect. If an engineer were to design an eye, one would naturally have the retina and then the blood vessels and nerve cords that connect them to the brain. In the human eye, for whatever reason, blood vessels and nerve cords run over the retina. This causes a blind spot where most of the nerves gather together, dive through the retina, and attach to the optic nerve, which runs back to the back of the brain, where the primary visual processing center, called V1, is located. We are not the only creature to have developed eyes by any means. In cephalopods, such as cuttlefish, squid, and octopus, eyes remarkably similar to our own were developed independently. They're not exactly the same. They use slit pupils rather than round ones. In fact, some of them have rather oddball shapes, like a W or a dumbbell. But they do have adjustable pupil sizes, lenses, and a retina. Fortunately for them, their retinal cells happen first, and then the blood vessels and the nerve cords that connect to the brain. So they do not experience a blind spot. One of the vagaries of evolution is that once you have a particular design, you can end up stuck with it. We can't redesign our eye to get rid of the blind spot. We'd have to go back to being very simple creatures in order to do that. New structures are built on the framework of old structures. This becomes even more evident when eyes become a liability. We'll talk about that in a future episode. Not the next one. The next one is coming out on October 31st. For the sake of the holiday, we're going to go a little bit out of order and talk about how reason can be a liability. Next time, be afraid.